All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Your presence here matters. But before we ask Brother Kelly to come speak, I want you to understand why we're here and what we're doing. We're not here tonight to make any decisions, okay? And no decisions have been made about anything. Tonight is simply an informational meeting to present to you what has been presented to us by the architect. And so tonight I want to encourage you, right? We're going to receive this information, and then the next step is to seek the Lord. I don't want to do anything that God does not want us to do. At the same time, I don't want to not do something that God wants us to do. And the only way I know that we can determine that is by taking sufficient time and bending our knees to the Lord in prayer and seeking His guidance so that we know how to move into the future. With that being said, we are blessed to have Brother Kelly Roach as our college minister, and we are blessed to have a wonderful college ministry. Brother Kelly is going to come share about our ministry, about what's been proposed, and he's going to share the Word of God with us tonight. Brother Kelly, you come.
Good evening. Everybody smile at me. Y'all all look like I'm fixing to tell you something that's terrible. But I'm going to tell you something that's good. How's that?
Amen.
That good? I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Jesus loves you. Every one of you, regardless of the state you're in, He loves you. If you can't get excited about telling people that Jesus loves you, I don't know what's wrong with you. Especially if you know Him as Lord and Savior. We need to be excited about telling people that Jesus loves them, what He can do. Man, I'm glad I serve a God that can and does. Not a God that won't because He's dead. But I serve a God that's alive and that He can. You see, part of college ministry, that's what you're doing. You're explaining that to students. You're explaining to them how much that God loves them, what He can do and what He can accomplish in their life if they will allow Him. It's a big part of college ministry because they don't have that family base when they move off to college that keeps telling them every day that they're loved, that God can work in their life. And that's where we get to stand in and say, hey, we'll be a family for you and help them through their college years. You know, college years are a good time to step away. Man, I went to youth group, did whatever in church, and been forced to go to church for the past however many years. And now mom and dad's not here, and I don't have to go anywhere. And that's a truth. And that's a reality. And the problem is with that truth and reality is it's catching over to adults. Because we have raised a generation of adults that's how they feel. And that's how they're going with it with their children and letting them not be focused on church. And I praise God for each one of you parents who are bringing your kids now, teaching them that church is important, that God is important, and serving Him is important. Because for each and every one of us, it does not change from the time that we're saved to the time He calls us home. God is important, and we need to make Him a center part of our life. And so tonight, that's what college ministry is about. That's what I'm going to present to you. A building is a building. A ministry is what counts. All right? This church is a building. Is it beautiful? Has God blessed? Oh, most definitely. But without us serving our Lord and Savior, this is just a building. Without us loving one another, this is just a building. We're supposed to lift each other up, keep our joy of the peace that God has given us as a family. And so, walls are walls, people are people, and our God is the only one true God. So let's see if this works. I call it the corner. We changed the name to The Corner for a simple reason. One, it's on the corner. Pretty novel, huh? It's right there on the corner. And what is a corner? A corner is an anchor spot. It's something that holds things together. And that's what God does. He holds our lives together. There's great, great semblance in that and how God takes care of us. And we want to be an anchor spot. We want to be something that helps the college students be held together with what God has for them. Get all my stuff in a row here. Help me out. There we go. You can't see it because the lighting, and I don't remember if I took that off my phone. Well, if I did, it's a 1912 version of an iPhone. It doesn't take very good pictures. But there's about 45 students in that picture. That was Wednesday night. If you want to see better, you can go on Facebook on the V College Ministry page and you can watch Owen and the rest of the band lead us in worship. Probably see it really good. But 45 students there on a spring semester of the first night that they were back in class, the first week. How awesome is that? I'm going to tell you, fall semester and spring semester with college students are completely different because you really don't know what's going to happen. Classes change, especially when it starts warming up out of the winter. They find other things to do. Never know, they might be out there playing golf with Brother Doug. I don't know. If they are, minister to them. There we go. 45 students there in that building. It's tough to see. If you've driven by 503 West L Street on the corner of El Paso, you've seen a red brick building. This building was opened in 2000 of March. I gave you a little sheet there with some building notes on it. I think all the information is correct. But it was opened with 3,200 square feet. It could be 3,600, right, Brother Ken? Okay, possibly. Somewhere around there. One floor. Now, can you imagine? Our lounge area is not very big, and we get 45 students in there. There's no place to sit. There's no place to move. It's pretty full in a worship area. You think our kitchen at the church is small? Come over there. But our ladies do a great job. The Triple J's feed on Mondays, and there's a lot of other folks that help out on Wednesdays. It's serving. And we're loving college students. Now, we as a church voted to hire an architect and get some proposals, try to get some drawings and see what we could do with that piece of land that we have there. And so the architect came back with a proposal. And there's some pictures up here, and you'll be able to see those here in just a little bit. After church, you can come up and look at them. There'll be some on the screen too. But here at this location, if you can see that, that is our involvement fair. That is a drone shot of our involvement fair, and you can see the building. That's the intersection. And every fall, this is what we have right out in front of the building. Freshmen are right there. It is a prime location for us to minister to college students. The new construction that he has proposed would be going from 3,200 square feet to a total of 8,444 square feet. From one level to two levels. The first level would be 5,908 feet. The second level would be 2,356 feet. An architect estimated cost was somewhere between 2 and 2.5. We don't know because we're not to that construction phase yet. But construction cost will be generated not from our capital improvement funds, but from monies that would be raised. And so that's kind of what the new construction is going to look like. And currently, we're averaging somewhere around 45 to 50 students. Man, we're about 75% of our capacity, if not above that, for our building. You can pack more people in there, but if I asked all of y'all here to sit right here in this pew, in this section, how many of y'all would be willing to do that? Go ahead and move. I didn't see anybody. And so when you're shoulder to shoulder and you're touching each other, you can love one another, but you really don't want to be around one another, right? And it's the same thing with college kids. You get really close, packed in, it's tough. If you've been on a 15-passenger van, going to Atlanta or to Flagstaff, those long drives get tough because you're close together. So it's the same thing here. We grow to a certain spot. Why has God blessed us with these buildings? Because of growth in the church. And we've expanded so we could reach more people. So we could tell more people about Jesus. So, new generation's coming. For each year, a new generation's coming. Y'all realize that, right? When I went to start a college in 1991, they tore down the first building. Well, I guess it's all the way down, right, Kevin? It's flattened now, young building. There's a little piece left. Little piece left. They tore down that building. That was the first building I went into. It had sprinklers on top of it, trying to help cool it off. It has since used everything that it can for over the years. They've tore it down. They're going to build a brand new building. And they do that because new folks are coming. School's growing. We hope it continues to grow. It's ranked number one in a lot of areas and a lot of things. We have a very good school here. And a new generation is coming every year. How are we going to minister to a new generation? Well, we're going to minister to them the same way that we do to every other generation. We're going to tell them about Jesus. That's not going to change. Jesus is our focal point. He is the one that matters, and a relationship with Him is what we're going to embark upon sharing with them. Psalm 149, verses 3 through 7 is on your sheet that I gave you tonight. But I want to read the entire thing, but these are the verses we're going to focus on. So if you'll stand with me, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 145. 145. He said, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men, his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. And the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Brother Lance Fetters, would you pray for us? You know, we have a biblical duty. It is the biblical duty of every generation of Christians to see to it that the next generations hear the mighty acts of God, to hear His love. What happens if we stop telling people about Jesus? Does God go away? Does His truth go away? Does His word disappear? No. That just means we stopped. And we have a duty to tell the generations behind us the wondrous and mighty works of God. God does not drop a new Bible on every generation that comes by. He intends that the older generation, when I say older, that means everybody that's not newborn. That means everybody that's, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what your duty is? Whether you're 8 years old, 6 years old, 12 years old, 80 years old, it's your duty to tell. He intends for the generations that come before to teach the newer generations to read and to think and to trust and to obey and rejoice. Man, that's something that I want to do. I don't want to be the Christian that just walks around. Man, I serve God. Do you know what happened? Man, terrible stuff happened today. Just start moaning and complaining. I want to be the Christian that walks around that can be excited and be rejoicing and telling the future generations about God. How many of you get excited about a sorry story? Anybody? One that's just full of disappointment and discontent and anger? Anybody here get excited about that? No, I didn't think so. You want to be excited about a story that somebody is just pumped up, overjoyed and jubilant about, correct? You want to get on board with that. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to have that kind of joy in our lives. You know, there is a reason that Psalm 145:4 stands out and is very important. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty ways. It not only speaks of imparting the truth from one generation to another, it tells us that we need to do it by what? Declaring, by praising, by being rejoicing. And that's what we need to do. In our life, in everything that we do, we don't need to be dry and unemotional. Have you ever been around Christians that are dry and unemotional? Don't start pointing fingers. But it happens. We come to a place where we forget sometimes, right? We come to a place where we don't do what verse 5 says. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Man, when I think about God, I think about the things that He's done and the things that He's prepared for me. Man, I love that part of the Scripture where He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That means He's expecting me. Man, if you're not expecting college students on a Wednesday night, you're missing. I expect college students on a Wednesday night. They always ask me how much food to prepare for, and I tell them 70 or whatever, and they just kind of look at me, and I'm like, if I don't have chairs out for them, I'm not expecting them. And guess what? They notice. My God is expecting me to be in His house. And I need to be there. I need to have that type of praise that I am meditating on His glorious splendor, on His wondrous works. I want to be a man that is able to do verse 6, to speak of His awesome acts and declare His greatness. God's blessed us. God's blessed me unimaginably in my life. I have a beautiful wife, 4 handsome young men. Sometimes they're not nice, but they're 4 handsome young men. But I am blessed. I'm blessed to serve my Lord here in this church. And I am blessed to see college students every week. And without that, my life's not full. Without God's blessings in my life, I don't have a heart that's rejoicing. I just want to sit over in the corner and do nothing. And we all find ourselves there, right? Because we forget to meditate. We forget to speak of the might, the power that He has in His awesome acts. And for generations to come, this is what we should do. Verse 7. We shall utter the memory of your great goodness. We shall utter the memory of God's great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. every week. That's what we try to do at V. We try to tell people. Some weeks I do a really good job. Some weeks I don't do such a great job. But we all do that, right? To tell people about His great goodness. And we sing praises to His name. See, college ministry is more than a building. Now, we need some room. I'll be honest with you. We need some growth. We need to be able for the next 20 years for students to see something that draws their attention. Because the world around them is going to be putting things out there that draw their attention. It's not a competition, but the devil wants to try to put any barrier in that he can. And I want to make sure that my Lord is served correctly. Building's not it. What's in here for me is it. And I hopefully that's what's inside you. That you want to rejoice. That you want to know that great is my Lord. And you can say that. Great is my Lord. And greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise and declare your mighty acts. See, the gospel is our message. It's not going to change. Inside, outside a building, the gospel is our message. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. He has a divine plan for mankind. Man, I sure am glad that God's plan is sovereign. And His plan is the one that we need to go with completely. I don't want to get out in front of Him. I want to follow Him. And if this is what God has planned for this ministry, then praise God, let's jump on it. If it's not, then let's back away. That's my prayer. The message of life is powerful when it's proclaimed and demonstrated in the lives of believers. And I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to have this message in your life that is so powerful that when it's proclaimed and demonstrated in the lives of the believers, it will change people's hearts. Be somebody who is rejoicing. Be somebody who is living for God. We're going to spread the gospel. Multiplication is our model. You do that through discipleship. Leading people to the Lord and discipling them, not leaving them out on the street. Oh, come to V, we'll tell you about Jesus. Good, you know Him? All right, we're going to leave you alone. No, that's not how it works. And that's not how it works here either. We teach. We lead. And we try to get students to understand Scripture. Jesus multiplied Himself through discipleship. And that is the core value of us as believers. Who disciple other believers. Love is a catalyst in which every action of a Christian is to be delivered. Y'all realize that, right? Love is the catalyst in which every action of a Christian is to be delivered. How many of y'all have tried to deliver the gospel without love? It's called arguments. It's called fighting about what Jesus did or didn't do. That's sharing the gospel without love. You ever argued with a college student? They don't come back. That's what happens. You lose them. So love is in which every action of a Christian is to be delivered. Christ was able to reach thousands because of His genuine love. If He didn't love you, would you have anything to do with Him? Probably not. Because you don't have anything to do with people that here on this earth that doesn't love you, do you? You turn to go the other way, just like everybody else. And so we have to bring love in. Love will be the center of our speech and our behavior throughout this ministry. Throughout this ministry. We'll show you all a walkthrough, if it will go, of the building. In every corner that you turn in this building, this is what we want to have. The gospel. Be able to have spaces for discipleship. Be able to have spaces for love of God to be shown. And so, this is about a 3-minute video. I'll let y'all watch this. Maybe it'll work. Nope, it didn't work. Can y'all hit that for me, please? beautiful, isn't it? The architect asked us what we wanted, and we told him, guess what he gave us? Exactly what we asked. It's a beautiful building. If this is what God wants, then this is what God wants. And so we're here tonight to ask you to pray for that, to pray for this building, to pray for the corner and for these students. I'm going to give you all one last thing here. I was raised by parents who went through the Great Depression. Times were different back then. My mother's birthday is today. And y'all, I've told y'all the story about finding a frozen chicken from 1982 inside a freezer when we moved. And so things were different back then. They taught me necessary things like changing oil and saving things of value. The verses that I've given you tonight, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your might, of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. And they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The time is now for us to think about leaving something for the next generation. Our lives, our love for God. And it's our responsibility to leave to these generations, leave these generations after us with not only the knowledge of God and His mighty works, but also how to declare and meditate and to sing of His righteousness. So I'm going to ask you this question tonight. When was the last time you uttered the memory of the great goodness of God? I have lots of great memories of MBSF with Ken. I have some that's not so good too. Don't get me wrong. And so does he. But man, college was a great time. And it was because of a lot of time that I got to spend with brothers and sisters in Christ inside of a building, worshiping Him and loving one another. If we don't value the necessary things, we'll never teach them to the next generation. A new generation is coming. And I know God is going to be there regardless of whatever else happens. And we need to be prepared and ready to teach of His mighty works. If y'all stand, we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You for what You have done for us. Father, for the future that You have in front of us, because we know it's Yours. It's not our future. Because You're God. I trust You with my future. I don't try to make my future. I don't try to make it to fit Your will. Father, I just want to follow Your will. Father, I love You and I praise You for what You have given this church, for what You have blessed us with. Father, help us just return it back to You with honor and glory that is used for Your purpose. In every aspect that we have here at Victory. Father, again, I thank You for all that You've given us. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, that's not able to tell other folks about Your mighty works, let tonight be the night that they come to know You as Savior. To understand that the gospel is real and the gospel is truth. Father, that their hearts will be open, that they could accept Your sacrifice and what You've done for us. Father, I love You and I praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.